Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here in church this morning, this beautiful fall morning, right before Halloween. The title of this message is going to be called The ABCs of Giving Thanks. As Charles just read, we are in the Psalms chapter 136. We're going to be looking at all 26 verses. Now, when I first took a look at this, it's been some time back, I was reading through here, and you notice as Charles reading, to the end of every one of these verses, it says, "For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever." Giving thanks. So, God's love, his mercy, that mercy is something about, we know from the teaching that mercy is not receiving that which we deserve. So in this passage, we're going to see a lot of stuff that he's given us that, you know, we don't necessarily deserve, but by his grace and love, he give it to us. You know, what do we deserve? We deserve to die and go to hell for our sin. That's what we do deserve. But we have so much more to be thankful as we dig into this. Let's look at the introductory verse. Look at Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17. Says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Whatsoever you do in word, whatever you're speaking, or in deed, whatever you're doing, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, give thanks to God and the Father by him. We need to give thanks in our words, in our actions, in everything we do. So today, as we take a good hard look at Psalm 136, we're going to look at the ABCs of giving thanks. You might ask, well, how did he come up with ABCs? Well, how many letters are in the alphabet? There's 26. There's how many verses in this chapter? There's 26. That's how I came up with it. In the end, we'll see if it makes even more sense. So, let's say a word of prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for your word to guide our life. Thank you for you, what you've done for us. Lord, help us to see clearly a little better what you have done for us. Help us to be thankful for that. Help us to desire to bring glory to you in that, and to one day we can receive your glory. Just be with me now as bring your word. Get me out of the way. Let my words be your words, Lord, that they can be received with open hearts and minds. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Psalm 136. You see in our bulletin here, I've got 3 points. Like, we're going to give thanks. ABC's giving thanks involved. Giving thanks for who he is, for what he did for everyone, and what he did for me. And that last point is going to be the long point. So we're going to be digging into that, what he did for me. But let's look at the first point here, in verses 1 through 3. We're going to say, giving thanks for who he is. We start off with Psalm 136, verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." We've all heard that. God is good, and he is good. If he's good, should we be talking about it? Yeah, we should. Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs 20, verse 6, just to the right a little bit. Proverbs 20, verse 6. If you're a faithful person, let's see what God says here in Proverbs 20, verse 6. It says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find?" Our sin nature, our flesh, like, yeah, look how good I am, look what I did. Brag about ourselves, whatever. Who should we be bragging on? Faithful man should be proclaiming God's goodness. What should we do in word and deed? Give thanks? We should be giving thanks for God's goodness if you're faithful. So, am I faithful? Ask yourself that. We need to give thanks for who he is. Also, let's look at Psalms 100. Psalms 100, just back to the left a little bit. Another reason why he's good. Psalms 100 and verse 5. It says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. Kind of sounds like His mercy endures forever, right? For His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. God is good. Give thanks to Him because of His mercy that is everlasting, endures forever. What else endures forever? His word endures forever. Therefore, God is good. Am I thanking Him for that? Who He is. God gave us His word. If we go back to Psalms 136, let's look at the second and third verses here on who He is, who God is. It says, Psalms 136, verse 2 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever." He is God of gods and Lord of lords. There are a lot of gods in this world, and there are a lot of lords in this world that are not of Almighty God. Man-made, satanic plants often, but this, He is the God of gods. And the passage that shows this, very good. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, this God of gods and Lord of lords. Deuteronomy chapter 10. You're going to have to bear with me too. We are going to be going through a lot of verses here today, references, because we're doing the ABCs of giving thanks. But Deuteronomy chapter 10, we'll start in verse 12. It says, Deuteronomy 10:12, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee?" We think of this, this is the context of Moses wrote this book. He's talking to the nation of Israel. Who can we inspirationally, devotionally think of as Israel? How about child of God? They were the children of God. How about today, a child of God? Put yourself in this position here as a child of God. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul." Very, very important. There it is, what we need to do as a child of God. It says, verse 13, "To keep the commandments of the Lord and the statutes which I command thee this day for thy good." Keep His word for our own good, for our benefit. It says, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is." He made it all. It says, "Only the Lord hath delight in the fathers to love them, and He chose their seed after them, even you above all people as it is this day." Verse 16, "Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked." Boy, that's a good one. Well, couldn't make myself need to get past that. It's like, get that cut off our heart. Get it cut off. That just the part of our heart and our emotions that just doesn't allow us to fulfill all of God's will, to follow His word. Get that cut today as we see this. The ABCs of giving thanks says, verse 17, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward." He is the God of gods and Lord of lords. He's a great God. He's mighty. He's not terrible in the sense we think of today. Terrible here means awesome. He's an awesome God. And what's going to happen? "Which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward." That is pointed to judgment. He is no respecter of persons when it comes to judgment. He don't care the color of our skin, amount of money we made while here. He cares about what we did for Him. Did we follow what He just laid out to the children of Israel? Are we following this today with all our heart? Following His word. Don't be that stiff-necked person that it's so easy for our flesh to get into. We give thanks to God because who He is. He's good. He's the God of God. He's Lord of lords. Now, we go to the second point, back to Psalm 136. We're going to look at verses 4 through 9. I'll read all these through, and we'll look at verse 4 through 9. It says, "To Him alone doeth great wonders." He's done many great works, and He's going to list them next in the next few verses here. "To Him alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever." He made the heavens. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters for his mercy endureth forever. He made the earth. To him that made great lights for his mercy endureth forever. Which lights were they? They were 8 and 9. The sun to rule by day for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night for his mercy endureth forever. He made the whole universe. That's what he did. And what did he do? We're giving thanks for what he did. What did he do? He made the whole universe. He made everything around us. We need to be giving thanks for that. Because I think he could have put us on maybe Mars or Jupiter or way out there somewhere. That wouldn't have been quite so good a living. He put us here on Earth. Perfect place that supports life and all that therein there is. Just unbelievable to think about what he did. He made it all. And he made it all for everyone. We're all here. Good, bad, and ugly, believer, non-believer, we're all here. He made it for all of us. And he did that. We won't turn there, but Psalms 19:1-3 said, hey, he made it. There is no language or voice where it's not understood. He made it. It's declared by him, and the heavens declare, and everybody understand it. No matter what language you speak, when you see this beautiful, awesome world we're in. Let's do turn to Psalm 33 and look at this. Psalm 33. Because what he did for everyone, what should we be doing here? It says, we'll start in verse 5. Psalm 33. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We've heard that before, right? It's full of the goodness of the Lord. Verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Let all the world stand in awe of him and ask ourselves, am I standing in awe of what he did? Am I giving thanks for what he did for everyone? The whole world should be standing in awe. We should be standing in awe and giving thanks for him for what he did. Now, let's go to a key verse in this passage and understanding. He made the whole world. This whole world is without excuse because he made it. There's no language that's not understood in. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Very key, critical thing to understand here. Romans 1. Verse 20 and 21. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No matter where you live, no matter what, you never heard the gospel, you never seen the written word, no matter what, because of God's creation, everyone is without excuse. You can come to know God through his creation. If you seek him, he will give you more truth. But here, verse 21 is the key thing. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We're talking about the ABCs of giving thanks, being thankful. Look what happens here. As you see, there's going to be more points coming. You see that two things go together. Not thankful, not glorifying him as God. Those two things go hand in hand. Being thankful and glorifying him. Now we need to be thinking pretty hard about this point. Each of us needs to think, am I thankful? Because being thankful is glorifying him as God, is bringing him glory. Because one day, as we'll talk about later, our goal is to be with him in glory, to receive his glory. They go hand in hand. So remember, what he did for everyone, without excuse, you need to glorify him and be thankful for everything. ABCs of giving thanks. Who he is and what he did for everyone. Now, as we go back to Psalms 136, going to go basically verse 10 through the rest of the chapter, break it down here. I titled this point, What He Did For Me. As we look at this, we're going to get to review what we've been going through in Exodus quite a bit. Troll's been landed out very good, and we've seen a lot of things. One of the things that you see from the book of Exodus as God is bringing them out of the bondage of slavery is you see that, hey, the nation of Israel, that's a good picture of me. Just like I talked about earlier, the nation of Israel, child of God. It's a good picture of me. Am I doing that? Does this follow me? It also, nation of Israel, you could look at it as the children of God, combined children of God. It was the nation of Israel. Combined children of God, that'd be today, like the body of Christ. But I'm going to look at it as an individual basis. So use it interchangeably, body of Christ, but let's look at it as individual primarily. But they both go hand in hand. Devotional application of what God did to the nation of Israel as He brought them out. Starting in verse 10, in Psalm 136, it says, To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. So, in all these verses, it should be saying, Oh, give thanks to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. Be giving thanks to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. Like, ooh, that's pretty cruel, crazy. You're thanking for killing all Egyptian firstborn. Well, what is Egypt a picture of? It's a picture of the world, a picture of sin. You know, it's a picture of anti-God, against God. And in the end, that is going to be smitten. It is not going to heaven with God. It's not of God. It is all going to hell. So, but in doing that, what did God do? As we turn back to Exodus 12, let's see what He did here. Smote Egypt in their firstborn. Exodus 12. And we see in verse 12 and 13 here, Exodus 12:12-13 says, For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. This is God talking, telling Moses, For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Judgment is coming. He's telling, judgment is coming. They are going to be smitten, everyone. Everything, it says in 13, And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This blood was of a sacrificial lamb put over the doorposts of their houses. They sacrificed, they took that blood and put it over the doorposts of their houses. God's Spirit saw that, and He passed over. Very, very cool picture for us to see. What am I giving thanks for? What did God do for me? He provided that same Passover lamb for us. John 1:29, as we go back, let's go back toward the New Testament. We'll start in John 1:29. The Passover was provided for us. What He did for me, giving thanks. John 1:29. This is the John the Baptist says, The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. What the nation of Israel had, they had that sacrificial lamb they took out of their herds, put the blood over the doorpost. John is telling us, hey, here is Jesus. He is the Lamb of God. He's that same sacrificial lamb. To know, that's how we know. He's our Passover. He is our sacrificial lamb given to us. So, that's a fact. Jesus did that. So what are we supposed to do with it? Romans. Let's look at Romans 5. Look at 8 and 9 here. Romans 5, 8 and 9 says, But God commends His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was our sacrificial lamb. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. That's just like that blood was over the doorpost of the nation of Israel. We are justified by the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. But what do we have to do? This Passover, what do we have to do? How do we paint it over the doorpost of our heart? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, "Now thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in unto salvation." And notice verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's an open invitation for each and every person that has ever existed to accept the Passover lamb. Paint that blood over the doorposts of our heart. It's a free gift. It's our choice. God is not going to make us do it. He did not make the nation of Israel do it, because back then, if they didn't do it, they were going to get slain, smitten, just like the firstborn of everything in Egypt would have been killed that night. We need to accept the Passover blood of Jesus Christ. The ABCs of giving thanks for what He did for me starts with that. Now, if you have done that, you can say, "Yes, I have done that. I have accepted this Passover sacrifice." We need to carry on and see what else we need to be thankful for as we go through this process, as we go back to Exodus. I meant Psalms. Psalms 136, back to our passage. Psalms 136, we'll look at 11 and 12 here. It says, "And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever." First point, He gives the Passover sacrifice. The second point of what He did for me, He gives us the power to go from captivity to Him, to Christ. Just what our vision verse is this year, Galatians 5:1, going from captivity to Christ. He gives us the power to do that. If you accept Him as Lord and Savior, something very major happens in your life. It's not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. What happens to the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What's the Holy Spirit do? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20 tells us, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Holy Ghost is in us, in our body. He's inside of us. Key point here, to see that sacrificial lamb, that Passover, was paid by Jesus. We are bought with the price of His blood. And then it says, verse 20, "Therefore glorify God in your body." Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in your body. What goes right with it? Being thankful for what He did. They glorified Him not, neither were they thankful. Are we thankful for what He did as that sacrifice? We need to bring God glory as a command. Now, we see from the passage that He took them out. It says He brought them out from among them with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm. How does He do that for us? He brings them out. We go from captivity to Christ, accepting the Savior. Spirit comes inside us. We want to bring glory. The power, Holy Spirit, is what? He's not a spirit of fear. What's it? Second Timothy 1:7 tells us that the Holy Spirit is. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. We have that spirit of power inside us, just as we saw in 1 Corinthians 6:19. So what after that? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. We have the power to be led out with a strong hand. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Led out. We don't have to stay in our sin, our flesh, thoughts. We need to be in Christ. Christ is in us. Now we need to be in Him. We need to try to bring Him glory, to be in what He would want have us to do. The power, the old things are passing away. Don't ever be thinking like, "Ah, you don't know how I've been. You don't know what I've done." God says, yeah, so I forgive you for that. Now what? You're my child. Let's carry on. I've got the power to get you out of this. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Right here by 2 Corinthians 5, let's look at 2 Corinthians 6. We got some commands. We got some commands from God in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Starting at 14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Don't be yoked together with the unbeliever, the world, all that sinful stuff. It says, 15, what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Remember, the temple of God is us, the Holy Spirit's inside of us. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters with the Lord Almighty, saith the Lord Almighty. So, he gives us the power to come out. It's a command. If we want to please him, if we want to be thankful and glorify him as God, we need to fear God and follow his commands. This is one, that we have the power to overcome. Don't ever be thinking, oh, I can't do that. You don't know, you know. That's just the way I am. That's the way I was born and raised. No, do not think that. That is not of God. Do not do that. God says, come out. Be ye separate. I've given you the power to bring me glory. So, as we go back to Psalms 136, we see the power comes. We saw the power comes from God. His Spirit is inside us. We can be let out of anything that we have going on in our life, starting with our thoughts, our actions, our deeds, all that. He can lead us out of it. He has let us out of it. All we have to do is allow him to do that. As we go, let's read verse 13 here. It says, to him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. He gave us the power to come out. And now I said to him which divided the Red Sea into parts. So imagine the nation of Israel. They're fleeing. God had just freed them, smitten the firstborn, and they're coming out of Israel. As we've read through in Exodus, they're coming out. And they approach the Red Sea. And there's this huge body of water right in front of them. And they look back, and here comes Pharaoh and his army after them. Pharaoh, picture of what? Picture of the world. Picture of the flesh. Picture of Satan, all three. He's our enemy, coming after us. All his hope is coming after us. Here's the Word of God. Here's the Red Sea, which is a picture of the Word of God. Water, we know from Ephesians 5:26, is a picture of the Word of God. So they're approaching this big Red Sea. That's interesting, too. It's red. Blood color? Jesus Christ? Yes. Red Sea. Picture of Jesus. Picture of his Word. They're approaching it. It's right there in front of them. They just got saved from their bondage, i.e., just like we should be, just got saved, accepted the Passover. They did the Passover. Have we accepted the Passover? Got the power inside us? We come up here to the Red Sea. What happens? We need to give thanks to him which divided the Red Sea into parts. That's like taking, okay, if that Red Sea wasn't divided into parts, it'd be like saying, okay, new Christian, here's the Holy Word of God. Just go read it. Just take, have fun. Good luck. Go read it. If you're as a church body saying that, but what did God do? Divided the Red Sea into parts. What does 2 Timothy 2:15 say? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to understand that God has divided the water for us. We need to rightly divide it so we can walk through on that clean, clear, dry path as we went forward. most today do not understand that. When they're opening the book in the Word, this huge body of water just sitting there right in the way, and they wade off into it and get lost in the apparent contradictions and the confusion that come with that, not knowing what applies to us today. So, very critical part, very inspirational thing you see here is that God divided the Red Sea into parts. He did divide the Word of God into parts, and we need to understand what those divisions are for us spiritually. So, what's the next part? Verse 15. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. Verse 14. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. So there's God. Moses held up his rod. The sea parts. It's been very interesting. Made Israel to pass through the midst of it. Made Israel to pass right through the midst of the waters that are divided. Think they wanted to go? So this indication, that'd be a scary little thought. Think of the walls of water, all that coming. You got Pharaoh and his army coming behind you. Here we're going through all this water and all that. And God made Israel. Israel. Who's the picture of? Picture of us today. A child of God. They were the children of God. It's a picture for us as a child of God. We need to be made to pass through the midst of it. Let's look at Isaiah 28:9-10 on our way back to some more New Testament verses. But Isaiah 28:9-10. See what it says. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Then they are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, priest upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. You want to be taught knowledge and made to understand doctrine? You've got to be made to understand doctrine. It says Israel was made to go through the midst of the divided sea. You need to get it little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Divided the Red Sea into parts. Are we doing that today? And are we thankful that we know we need to do that? God did this for me. He divided the Red Sea into parts. We know we need to do that, and He teaches us line upon line. That's why we stand on the Word of God. That's why we stand together for anyone that wants to learn. Let us know you want to learn, and we will do discipleship and teach you line upon line the Word of God, the basics of the doctrine of the Word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Another thing, and that point was made to pass through. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is proper doctrine for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Made to pass through. You get the Word of God, understand that it's given by God, it's proper doctrine for reproof, for correction, for instruction, all those three things to get our life in order. To get that, we may be perfect and truly furnished. Made to pass through the Red Sea of the Word of God. Very key point to see and to be thankful for. Back in the passage, what happened to Pharaoh? Is he coming? What did God do with him? He used the Red Sea to overthrow him, didn't he? Israel gets through. God removes the power, and drops the water all over the nation of Israel. Just killed them, drowned them out. Red Sea, picture of the Word of God. Pharaoh, picture of our enemies. That's what we need to do. Use the Word of God to drown out our enemies, to overthrow our enemies. In other words, we need to be justified by the Word of God. Romans 5:1. What we need to be thankful for is the Word of God that can drown out our enemies, just as Pharaoh was drowned out by God. They did not kill the nation of Israel. Romans 5, starting verse 1, says, therefore, being justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I bet the nation of Israel had a lot of peace when they saw Pharaoh drown behind it, didn't they? Like, whew, thank God for what we did. No, what he did for us. So can we be thankful for being justified by faith? It says, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's the word glory again. Being thankful, bringing God glory, and hope, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Pharaoh's coming after you. You get saved, you accept the Passover sacrifice, you understand the power that's inside you. Pharaoh's coming after you. We're going to allow the Red Sea, the Word of God, to overthrow it or not. Verse 4, patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts to the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That sounds like they're speaking and being thankful for God. You can't help but be thankful for God. You can't help but speak it in word and deed. ABCs are giving thanks. Justified by faith. You want to give thanks to Him. People will know what you're thankful for if you're giving thanks for what He's done. He drowned my enemies in the Word of God. I give it to God. I get into His Word. I rightly divide it, understand what He's wanting to do for me, and I'm thankful for it. That's what we should be doing, speaking that thankfulness. So, the next point back in the passage of verse 16 was, He led him through the wilderness. After He used the Red Sea to overthrow the enemies, He led him through the wilderness. He led His people through the wilderness. That's what it said. Led His people through the wilderness in verse 16. His people. Child of God. When we get saved, where we're living here in this world, it's a picture of the wilderness. There is sin. God is not the God of this world. That is Satan who's the God of this world. It's his wilderness. It's his evilness. It's all around us. This is a picture of the wilderness. Just as God led the nation of Israel through the wilderness for how long? 40 years. Big picture of time of testing. Us and this wilderness we live in, called this world today, is a time of testing for us. It's a time of testing of what? How thankful we are? Are we bringing God glory? Because we were going to answer for it. What do we need to be led by? God led them. What do we need to be led by? Galatians 5, 16 to 18. Let's see that. One thing to, as we turn there, to keep in mind is this world is a picture of the wilderness. But there's an old saying that goes, if you are born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. If you are born, you accepted that Passover sacrifice to the Lord, you only die once. But if not, you die twice. And that goes with this. Hey, if you're in this world right now, if you're not saved, this is the closest to heaven you're ever going to be. This wilderness of all the craziness is the closest to heaven you're ever going to be. If you have not accepted the Passover sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, closest to heaven you'll ever be. If you have accepted His Passover sacrifice of the Lord Jesus into your heart, accept Him as your personal Savior, this is the closest to hell you're ever going to be. This is a wilderness. We will be judged on how we get through this wilderness. Are we letting God and His Spirit lead us? Galatians 5, 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because this wilderness, Pharaoh wants to take us down, destroy us. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. A big if. If ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. In this context, we're talking about the law, the old Mosaic law, but it's also the law of of sin to death. Application wise, am I led of the Spirit where I am not under that Pharaoh and his host doesn't have control of me? He has not captured me. I have went from his captivity, and I'm staying with Christ as being led by the Spirit. That's what we should be doing, because we are going to give an answer. In this world, let's look at 2 Corinthians real quick. To show that we are just, this is a wilderness, and we are, don't belong here. Verse 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then we are ambassadors as Christ, for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you," and Christ said, "be ye reconciled to God." Stick with God. Let him lead you. We are ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? Ambassador is someone that's not in their country. This is a wilderness. This is not our country. We are just passing through. We will give an answer for how we were an ambassador. How did we represent him? Were we thankful and would bring him glory or not? So, right here back over page, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start in verse 15 and see things here. 2 Corinthians 4:15, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." There the two words are again, thanksgiving and glory. "Through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day." In this wilderness, look what's happened in this wilderness, verse 17. "For our light affliction of this wilderness, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory," that I'm thankful for. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Glory and thanksgiving go together, and they will be together at the end, if we faint not. Verse 16, don't faint. Don't let Pharaoh overthrow you, come and take you back to his bondage. Don't do it, because glory will not be our end, our reward. So, being led through the wilderness, what he did for me, we see that what he did for me, we learned that he provided the Passover. Sacrificial lamb. Jesus is our Passover. The Holy Spirit is our power. And these last few verses, he's given us the path to go on. He's given us the path. Need to be rightly dividing the Word. We need to go right through the middle of the Word of God with right division. Let the Word overthrow our enemies and let him lead us through the wilderness with his Spirit, and don't faint. As we turn back to Psalms, catch up the next few verses. Psalms 136. We saw the pathway there. Now, verses 17 through 220, we're going to see some protection that God gives as we're going through the wilderness. We see what happens to these kings. It says, "To him which smote great kings for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever." Verse 21, "And gave their land for inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever. Even the heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever." There's the key thing. Israel, his servant. Child of God, his servant. Am I a child of God? Am I a servant? But these kings, you see that very inspirational application here. God smote these kings. He overthrew Pharaoh on the backside. Now as he's going forward, he killed the kings that were in the way of the land where the heritage, where the promised land was at. He took care of them too. As we're marching through this wilderness, through life for God, we're going to come across some kings in our life. Kings that don't necessarily like the Lord Jesus Christ, our King. They don't like that. They don't want like what he's going for, but they want to distract us from what God has to do. These kings in our life, we start rattling them off. There's a bunch. Jobs, money, lust. You damn it all, there's many, many more. All that sinful stuff. The kings in our life. Rather watch TV than read the Word. Guilty of that myself. That king, we need to let God smote him. Let God take care of him. He will take care of him. Because the power's inside of us. We're led by the Spirit. Power's inside of us. We need to allow him to smote our enemies, these kings. Think of the world, think of the flesh, think of the devil. These kings are that are could be in our life trying to take us out. Because that is the promised land. We've got to get through these kings to get the promised land that he has wants us to have. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. These kings on the spiritual side, what does God say about them? Romans 6, verse 6 and 7, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That king in our life, that body of sin, might be destroyed, that we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If we are crucified, our old man, our old nature is crucified with him, is dead, has no power. He's not crucified with him. He still has power. He's still a king in our life. See that? He's given us the power to overcome this king in our life, to not serve that sin that is in our life. Another example, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Anything that comes our way, any temptation of a king, more than a king, they can throw out some good stuff, right? Think of what kings, we visually think of kings. What do they have? They have all the gold in the world. They have all the service in the world. They have all the livestock and animals, whatever, you know. They've got it all. What do you need? Here's the king offering this temptation. And what does God say? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. That king throwing that temptation out, he delivered it to every man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God has slain the kings in this wilderness for us. He's given us a way out. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's called His Word of God. It's called His Jesus Christ. All that. He has given us the way out. We need to be thankful for that. Am I thankful for that? Do I know that? See, we're talking about the ABCs of giving thanks. We don't have to let these kings rule us. Our fleshly desires rule us. He's given us a way out. We need to be thankful for that, understand that, and know that. As we go to our vision verse for this year, Galatians 5:1, good picture of not allowing the kings in our life to have strength over us. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty where Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That king, especially Pharaoh, wanted to put him back in bondage. These other kings do the same, only in a lot more subtle way. Get you into their lifestyle and what they want to take you away from the true king in our life that should be the God of gods and the Lord of lords, God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Remember we talked about in verse 21 and 22, Psalm 136, that heritage awaits. If we get through these kings, let God slay them, the heritage awaits. Let's look at, we're right here, we're still in Galatians 5, let's look at Galatians 6. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Which king is in your life here? For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There it is again. Don't faint. Don't faint. He has given us this promise for the future. That protection, he's going to kill the kings, he's going to slay the kings that are in our life. He's given us this promise for the future, this heritage. If we faint not, reap life everlasting. If we faint not. Another example, Romans 8. Romans 8. If this glory that awaits, this heritage, this promise for the future, Romans 8, starting in verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Those kings, live after them, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There it is, being led by the Spirit. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now we've got another thing associated with glory now. That's suffering. And what do we read in Romans 5? Tribulations and glory. Suffering and glory. Thanksgiving and glory. It all goes together. We need to be thankful for these trials and tribulations as we go through this wilderness, just like the nation of Israel. God slays them in our life. Be thankful for that. Don't faint. Get through this life and have glory at the end that God wants to give us. If we faint not. Let's turn back to Psalms 27. A little bit past our passage, but Psalms 27, see a great example of what keeps you going, what should keep you going in this process called life that we're in, this wilderness we're going through. Psalms 27. Starting in verse 11 here. Teach me the way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. See that? Kind of see the picture of the nation of Israel here. We're talking about, see a picture of the wilderness we're in as we're walking through life here. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil, Pharaoh. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Everybody's talking bad about us. Oh, you're a Christian, you said that. They're breathing out cruelties against me. Man. Verse 13 is the key. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God is good. The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's that heritage. That promised land. I would have fainted unless I believed that God had that glory waiting for me. That keeps you going. What keeps you ticking? It should be this. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Sometimes that's difficult, isn't it, what you're going through. We need to be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Where does our strength come from? The Lord God Almighty, His Holy Spirit, and His Word. Strengthen the heart. That heritage awaits, that promise for the future, I need to be thankful for, and I need to believe that it's there for me, for the taking. God wants it for us. We should believe that. We should be motivated to continue in the path we're on, this wilderness we're going through, this being an ambassador for Christ. Be that motivation to get us through to the end and faint not. As we go back to Psalms, close out here a little bit. Psalms, looking at 23 through the rest of the chapter here. You see, what should be thankful for and what he did for me, there's a provision here. Starting in verse 23, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 23 and 24, God's provision, their past tense, who remembered us in our low estate. We need to give thanks to God who remembered us in our low estate. When we were in our old nature, our old self, our flesh, he remembered us. He provided the Passover sacrifice. He provided the power. He provided the path and the protection and the promise for the future. It's all there. He remembered us in our low estate. Now here's the key. Do we remember him? He remembered us. Do we remember him? In a little bit, we're getting ready to go through the Lord's Supper where we can have the remembrance of what he did for us and give thanks for all this that he did for us. But he remembered us, past tense. Verse 24, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, past tense. Our enemies are already slain. All we got to do is let God do it. They're slain, past tense. We see that he slew the kings that were in the promised land. He's slain our kings and our problems, our sin that's in this promised land that awaits. It's slain already. Hath redeemed us from that. I'm going to look at verse 25 real close here. Verse 25 says, who giveth food to all flesh? Not past tense. That's present. Who giveth food to all flesh? When we think about it in the context of all these ABCs of giving thanks, think about it. All the creatures of this world, God gives food to all of them. There's nobody out there feeding them unless they're in captivity of a zoo or something at my house. All the pens we got, I got to feed them. But if they're wild birds, beasts of the fowls of the air, fish of the sea, beasts of the field, God feeds them. There's no man feeding them. He gives food to all flesh. Am I flesh? Are we flesh? Yeah. He give us food, present tense, to us. We have to realize that. That is the importance of the Word of God. We won't turn to these, but we see that the Word is a picture of food. It's a picture of milk in 1 Peter 2:2. It's a picture of honey in Psalms 119:103. It's a picture of bread in Luke 4:4. And there's plenty of other examples to go with that. The Word of God is a picture of the food that he gives to us. He gives food to all flesh. He gives us the Word of God. I do want you to turn to Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15. We'll look at verse 15 and 16. In Jeremiah 15 it says, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Remember me, visit me, revenge me. Take away not my long suffering, and I have suffered rebuke. Kind of sound like some of the points we talked about here. This is a person, a man, a child of God, Jeremiah. And a lot of that, all that happened to him. Why? How did he get through it? Verse 16 is the key. The Lord giveth food, present tense. It says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. To Jeremiah, the word was joy and rejoicing of his heart. For us, what is it? Is it joy and rejoicing of our heart? That present tense giveth food, or is it the kings that are in the land, that are in the wilderness with us here? What gives us the joy and rejoicing of our heart? It should be the Word of God. We should be eating them. He giveth food. He provides, gives us that provision to get through to the end, just like you got Nation of Israel through to the end after much ado, just like us, much ado, getting through this wilderness. He does provide the word for us to get through it. As we close out, we got the last verse of Psalms 136. And basically becomes a circle of giving thanks. Because it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever." Why we give thanks? Because of who he is. Back to that. Point number one, because of who he is. He's the God of heaven. Because of who he is. Can we do that today? I'm going to go to a closing passage here, last verse. Can we do that today? Can we give thanks to the God of heaven because of who he is? And the ABCs are giving thanks. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. We start in verse 15. Pretty familiar passage here, but look at, starting verse 15, it says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." So what's the context of the following verses? It's giving thanks. It's following that which is good. Don't render evil for evil. All those evil people out there, don't render that. Don't do that, but follow that which is good. What's good? God is good. His word is good. He is good. But it's in amongst ourselves and to all men. It's amongst believers and to the world. Follow that which is good. And what should we be doing? Rejoice evermore. Always joyful. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. We should be always praying. Verse 18, we should, and everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. No matter what happens, we're following good amongst ourselves and the world. We're always joyful. We're always praying. And we're giving thanks in everything. That wraps up the ABCs of giving thanks. Give thanks in everything. No matter what comes your way, we should be giving thanks for it. Because God awaits. His glory awaits on the other side. Thankfulness, glory, suffering. All those go together. Are we thankful today? And knowing the ABCs of giving thanks. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm not going to sing the song, but we kind of need to go back in time here a little bit in our younger days. Remember singing ABCs? And go through all 26 letters. It says, at the end it says, W, X, Y, and Z, and now I know my ABCs. Next time, won't you sing with me? 3 points from that song. First of all, do you know your ABCs for giving thanks? Second of all, are you singing them? Are you being thankful? Third of all, is there anybody singing with you? Very good points to understand from that children's song. About the ABC, giving thanks. We need to do that. Lord, I just thank you for this day, your word about the basics of giving thanks, Lord. You've done so much, we can't comprehend it. We don't fully understand it. We just know that you're in control. You provided the way out. You've given it all to us, Lord. Help us to just understand a little better today. Help us to be able to be thankful today even more. And help us to sing your thanksgiving as we go forward for you one day that we can be with you in glory. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.